half sacrifices for Bible school. My little table was one of them. That'll work, won't it?
Yeah. Good.
Let's begin with prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit continues to move in it and gives us messages from you. So Lord, nobody here needs to hear from me this morning. We'd all rather hear from you. Guide this time together. Empower it through your Holy Spirit so that each of us hears what you have prepared for us this morning. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Savior, we pray. Amen. So, I want you to think about this question. Are you ready this morning for Jesus Christ to come again? Okay, think about that. I heard a yes. Yeah. Okay. Good. That's good. These three, if you'd open your Bibles to chapter 25 of Matthew. In Matthew 25, and it's parallel in Luke, there are three stories, three parables that Jesus is preaching, is teaching through. They're proof texts, if you will, of readiness. In Matthew 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins, followed by the parable of the talented individuals, let's say, followed by the separation of the sheep and the goats. Now, the first two carry the subtext that they're waiting for somebody to come. And the first one, it's the bridegroom. They're waiting for the bridegroom to come. Keep your oil in your lamp. Keep them ready. Be ready for the bridegroom to come. For some unforeseen reason, now nobody's been in a wedding around here that happened that way, it took a whole long time till the bridegroom came, and some of them ran out of oil. In the second one, we know that the master is gone for a very long time, for one reason or another. In the third one, it's interesting when it plainly says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory. And so we have no mistake. There's no mistake there that it's Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, Son of God. He's coming again. What's interesting is, and sometimes I think we sort of fly through it, is that at the end of each of these texts, there's a very stern message to the ones who didn't carry through in their readiness. So we're going to work with this morning. This Bible school text is Get Going, and it works with this verses 14 through 30. This parable of the talented individuals. And so I thought I'd have three talented individuals come forth this morning. Blake and Drew and Aaron, would you come up here? And I'll let you order yourselves as you wish. So the story goes that a man was going on a journey, and it was not unusual that... Okay. You all right up here? Okay. Very good. It's not unusual. I mean, there were not banks, and there were not security systems at that time like we have today. So if a man was of wealth, he would put his estate in the hands of his servants to care for when he went on a long journey, so that when he got back, there might be something left. So if he was going on a very extended journey, he'd put his cash in some servant's hands, and he'd put his acreage in the hands of other servants, according to their talent. And so this man was getting ready for a journey, and he decided he'd get three of his servants, and he was going to put his money in their hands. And so to one he gave 5 talents. And to another servant, that's actual money, 2 talents. And to the third, he gave one. What's interesting is, it says in the text that the one with five talents went at once. Can you go at once? Are you good at going at once if I tell you where to go?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a wooden bowl on this side of the stage, and that's where you're going to go at once. So he went at once and invested. Very good. And is there something else in there? Oh, good. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. So he gave it the two talents he gave, and he went at once. It's sort of a subtext, but it's in there. And there's a blue glass jar up there. That's going to be your investment. Now the third one, he gave one talent, and that dude did something special, didn't he? I have a brand new shovel sitting over yonder. So you want to go make like you're burying something? What we notice in the story is that the master is gone for a long time. Do you see any Do you see any parallel here? Because even we, in this day and age, are still waiting for Christ to come again. Well, the master returned. And I got to turn the page. And when he turns, he comes to settle accounts with his servants. So, servants, come settle accounts with your master. Okay. So, for the first brings the original five talents and five more. Do you have five talents? And five more. Wow. Good and faithful servant. You're going to celebrate with me today. In fact, I'm going to put this back in your hands. God bless you. Patience. The second servant brings the original two and two more. And the master's response is, good dude, good job, good and faithful servant. You're going to celebrate with me today, dude. Okay. Now, before we go on, I put a pause in here just for you, Aaron. Before going on, I think we need to point out in the middle of this parable, are we aware that we, like these servants, are in this story? That a part of the kingdom of God, the part of the master's wealth, has been entrusted into our hands. So then there's the third servant. The servant brings back that one talent that he was given originally. And he says this, and Aaron, I put it in green and circled it. Could you read? Oh, that's why I brought the microphone. You like microphones, Aaron? Yeah, I can tell that. So it's bold and it's black and it's in green around.
Then the man who received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered the seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.
Now, the master was not really taken by this response. It wasn't really what he thought would happen. So the master says this, take that talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. Got them in your pocket already. For everyone who has will be given more, and he who has will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does that sound fair?
No,
it doesn't sound fair, does it? It sounds so foreign in our world today, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like the way we would like for this kind of tale to come out in our culture today. The poor guy, he only had one talent to start with, and you up and take it from him. But there's a pivotal truth here that reflects upon the servant himself. that third servant was different than the other two. In that servant was not good. That servant was not faithful to his master. To his master. And Jesus is saying he's truly deserving of nothing. You guys should have some here. I just can't let it go that way. I'm sorry. Thank you, gentlemen. You can sit down and take your little... He did you this morning, didn't he? That's all right. You could go to Yachty's and still spend that whole thing in one spot. That third servant is the one we often focus on. And one part of us says, that servant, my goodness, this isn't right, Lord. That third servant, he dug it in. I mean, he brought it back to you. He brought back what you invested. And in our culture, that just doesn't seem right. But perhaps it's because we also are in question of how we are to serve the Master. Each and every one of us here this morning has been entrusted a talent of the Lord. If the Lord is your Savior, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got a talent. You've been given something very precious by Almighty God. He has invested into you His Son Jesus Christ. He's invested into you the Holy Spirit. He gave it to you. Now what you do with it then describes what kind of servant you are. The Scripture says, and I think at verse 15, that the Master gave each according to their ability. And if you question for a moment whether God knows your ability, I mean, He's the one that created you. He knows exactly what you're capable of. And I don't think it's God that's selling us short. In fact, if we would count our blessings that have come to us by the hand of Almighty God, I think each of us probably has at least 5 talents, if not 25. And so let's turn the story and see what happened to that first servant. That first servant was entrusted 5 talents. And what did he do? The Scripture says he went at once. Of course, Blake was a runner. He could make it up there. And he invested it and brought back 5 more. We don't know how long it was that he had those 10 talents in his hands. But we know that he kept them safe until the return of the Master. In this day and age, I think we often forget, for one reason or another, that there is a portion of the kingdom of God entrusted into each and every one of our hands. Now, I'm not saying how you want to mark that. And I've often talked about this mission station at the corner of 540th and Cockins Avenue. Street? Avenue? Whatever. But this place, this church is here for a reason. Because God has invested talents here in the people. I'm not exactly sure where you go during the course of the week, but you take a piece of the kingdom of God with you everywhere you go. How are you investing? How are you investing the peace that God has entrusted of His kingdom in your hands? What are we doing with that sacred investment of God? To me, the challenge in this scripture is the one that rings out of the Bible school text this week. get going. That first servant went at once. Even though he knew that the master was going to be gone an extended period of time, the servant went at once and invested those five, used those five to get five more. He did it at once. And I know that maybe it's because I'm getting old. It could be. But I sense an urgency for us as Christians to live out the kingdom of God into our communities, into our families, into our friends, and into our neighbors. Our time, I mean, who knows? I might have 50 years left, but I doubt it. With the wear and tear going on, might be less than that. But do we as Christians live into our community of faith with the urgency that at least our time to invest is very, very short? Get going. The Bible school text includes this as well. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. Many of you will go into the workplace tomorrow morning. Many of you are serving, God bless you, earthly masters. Take that verse with you. Maybe scratch it on a piece of paper. Maybe put it on a card in your pocket. And remind yourself that as you serve tomorrow morning, you're serving as to the Lord in all you do. And get going. Serve with an urgency, like that first servant. And take that precious thing God has given to you and invest it. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the illustration that your Son has given us of what it means to be your servant. What it means to have you trust us so much with the precious word of your kingdom. The desire you have, O Lord, to bring peace and wholeness to broken lives, broken homes, broken communities. So Heavenly Father, nudge us to get going. And may we carry with us your peace, your shalom, into every situation we come into. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.